Dear brothers and sisters, the masters speaking through scriptures tell us that absolute God cannot be seen by anybody. The wordless or the nameless, when it came into expression, that is called word or naam or karma or shabd, who is the maker of all creation, that can be seen and heard. When God, absolute God, came into expression, there was vibration. The vibration results in two things, light and sound. So two aspects of God, light and change, when vibration can be seen and heard. And that God of expression is the maker of all creation, controlling all creation and permeating all creation. All masters define God into expression of power as light and sound. Bible says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and light on my path. Guru Nanak also says the same thing. When you come into contact with the God into expression power, you see light comparing to thousands of light suns. And also the scriptures tell us when you want to imagine there was light, that light is the cause of all creation. Masters, when they come, they are conscious of God at the very beginning, in their childhood. They have got their backgrounds, or they are sometimes sent by God to guide the child in humanity. Guru Nanak, when he was a child, 5 years old, he was sent to the school for learning. And when he went to the teacher, he began to teach him 1, 2, like that. Then he abrupted him and said, look here, what do you mean by 1? He said, well, go on reading what I teach you. He said, no, let me know. What do you mean by 1? Have you understood 1? What is 1? Then he told him, look here, that means there is one God, who is the creator of all creation. He is eternal, never falls away. He is the paramount head. There is nobody controlling him. He has got no equal. That is why he has got no enmity with anybody. He has no fear of anybody, because he himself is all in all. Though it appears to be timeless one, but he has some existence too. But he has come out of his own self. Nobody is creator of him. That how can you find him? It is gift of God. Gift of Master, Guru. What is Master? He is Word made flesh. The Word is made flesh alone can have contact with the God, the special power. Then he said, is he one? So no, one stands for that something behind it. It is not one. Why we speak of him as one? Because we are finite. And we have to speak about him in finite terms. That one which stands for success in something, that is the power when it came to expression, that is called the whole creation. So, Master, give us a contact with that power, into expression which leads into the world estate. Kabir says, well, if I tell him he's one, then the question of two comes up. He's neither one nor two, he's something, which we express by the word one or two. And Guru Arjuna explained him, because we are finite, we can only speak of him in finite terms only. He is something beyond, inconceivable, that worldless state. When he came to being, into existence, he wanted to find one, wish to be many. So that power which came into expression is called word, naam, shabda, or kalpa. That power which came into expression, that we can see, of course. The two aspects of which is like this. With what eyes we can see him. So you find absolute God is wordless or nameless, and when he wanted to be many, he manifested. This primal manifestation of God is called word or naam, which is the cause of all creation. So all masters speak of him as such. In the beginning was the world. World was with God, and world was God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So this is, world is God, God into expression power. When manifested, there is vibration which resulted in light and sound. So this is the maker of all creation, controller of all creation, and permeating all creation. So there are hundreds and thousands of names given to that power. As I submitted, God absolute, wordless, nameless. Nobody seen God at any time, the wordless God, that came into expression, which is the cause of all creation, that we can see and hear. Not with these eyes of flesh and bones and the physical ears. Those eyes are different. So sages have given thousands of names to of God. Some call him as Lord, Swami. Some call it as Nirala, means fearless. Some call him as Anam, nameless one, no name. So, some call it Satpurush, eternal. So there are many qualitative norms, also names also given to him. But these are the names which express that power into expression, which is the cause of all creation. So out of that, the ninth guru of the sixth says, there are so many hundreds of thousands of names. We say we come in contact with naam, then we get salvation. Which is that naam? Which is that word? Is it that word W-R-D? Or N-A-M-E? No. This is the word which expresses that power, God into expression power. So from the words, there are hundreds and thousands of names. You say, which is that word, that naam, by coming in contact with it, we can have salvation. So ninth guru says, what is that name, remembrance of which leads to nirvana? Again it says, what is that name? The repetition thereof enables us, person, to cross over the world of sorrow. So these are not his words. These words denote something. Unless you come in contact with that, we cannot have salvation. When you see him come in contact, we say that is the maker of creation, he's the reverberating all creation, he's the controller of creation, the two aspects of it is light and sound. So when you open the inner eye to see the light of God, and open the inner ears to see this, hear the voice of God, that is coming in contact with now, which gives you salvation. Because you see, that is the power work we are not. In that case, our ego is lost. Until then, we may repeat hundreds and thousands of names. In that case, we are the doer. So long as we are the doer, as we sow, so shall we. For good seeds, good actions, good results, bad actions, bad results. So Master says, come in contact with God into special power, the demonstration of which can be given by one whose word made flesh. God alone can give you contact with God, you see. God is in every heart. But where there is His manifest, that manifest is God in Him, can give you contact with Him. Who we are called souls. Outward expression of the soul is called attention. Now, when our attention, which is now identified with the world outside, with the body, outgoing faculty, the world outside, so much so that we have forgotten ourselves, we cannot differentiate ourselves. So what the masters do, they withdraw our attention from all outside and from the body below, bring it to the seat of the soul, which is at the back of the eyes. There we see we are soul. So we are of the same essence as that of God. So light knows the light. So that is the God into expression power, contacting with which it is possible only when word made flesh will give you a demonstration of that. So a contact, Guru Arjuna says, a contact with Naam makes oneself luminous. With luminosity varying with hundreds, thousands of suns. So we are the drop of the ocean of all attention, we are the drops of the ocean of all consciousness, we are the drops of the ocean of all light, we are all children of light. And this light is encompassed, covered by so many sheets, physical, astral, causal. On the face of it appears there is no light. Take this lamp, that is burning, that is one cover, two, three, four. Out of it appears there is no light there. When you take off one cover, you see some light. When you take off the other cover, there is more light. When you take off all covers, full light. So God is all light. So when you come in contact with it, you become luminous, self-luminous. So by thy grace, O Guru, O Master, open our inner eye to see the light of God. It is not the subject of the outer eye, physical eye, no. Guru Nanak was asked, what is that that see that light of God? With what eye you see? He says, those eyes are different, not of the eyes of flesh and bone. So Kabir also referred to the same thing as Nanak Guru said. There are myriads of names in the world, names given to God, but none of them grant salvation. The primeval Naam is a hidden one, and a rare soul can know and realize it. Take the example of word I am talking of. For instance, there is water. That is liquid. In all languages, so many names have been given to express that liquid. Some call it water, in Latin it is called aqua, in French it is called eau, in Hindi it is called jal, neer. You see? Ab. So these are the words denote that liquid by drinking which your thirst can be satisfied. Not by repeating the name of your water or aqua like that. You follow my point? So what is that Naam? by coming in contact with, you can have salvation. When you come in contact with the light and sound principle, it will lead you where? From where it emanated, to the Absolute God. No eye passes, direct way back to God. Far into the world, God is permeating the music of the spheres. You go on only saying, God is liberating all creation, is liberating all creation, and under you see not really liberating them. So it is just like what you say, a blind man saying God is light. So devotion now is only to worship, to this way, you see. That is to worship. What we do, now we keep symbols of light outside. We ring the bells, we light the candles. This is only models. Real worship is to see the light in the single eye within you. And hear the music of the spheres. Then say, he is liberating in all creation. So that is the true worship. Other worships are done at the level of senses. They are good action, of course. That will give you good results. But as you are the doer, you have to sometimes good results, sometimes bad. You will come and go. When you see that power is pervading all creation, within and without, you are not the doer, that is, that power is the doer, then you lose your ego. Your coming and going end. So everyone, Ramadas, spent 70 long years in search of God. When he came to the feet of Guru Angad, the second Guru in the line of Guru Nanak, he said, everyone does worship, but on the sensual plane. Only as such, they get no result. So he been engaged in practices, reading, writing, chanting, outward expression methods, what they are. They all relate to the outgoing faculties on intellect. So they are praying God at the level of the senses. God is spirit, we must worship him in spirit, is it not? That is the true worship. Now you will understand what is the true worship. What we are doing outside, these are only models made of the expressions of God. They are good actions, no doubt. But in that case, you do not lose your ego. You will have to come and go. But absorption in the Naam purifies the mind and bears fruit in abundance. You see, our soul is of the same essence as that of God. God is light, we are also light, children of light. God is all consciousness, we are also conscious entities. When our conscious entity, we know ourselves, we shake off all these outer coverings of mind and matter, we begin to seem ultimately absorbed. This absorption, as the more you come in contact with God into sufficient power, all your sins are washed away. Why? Because you lose your ego. There is nobody to bear the reaping of the seed that we have sown. So, Naam, our word, is the great controlling power, you see, which controls all creation. That is the power. By the word of Lord, where the heavens made, and all the host of them, he spake and it was done. Kun fiyukun. All was there and whole thing came to be. With one thought of it. One ray of the sun. Word made flesh is a ray. And sun is sun. But that's the way back to sun. That is why Christ said, nobody can see you have done through me. Ray cannot see the duty, sun. So that is why, you see, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded from the mouth of God. This word, power, came out of the mouth of God. So Master said, there is God, who is the maker of all creation, universe, who is the controller of our universe and permeating all this. What is all this? Is all manifestation of God. When we begin to see our own self, when our inner eye is opened. And who can open our inner eye? Some word made flesh. Who can light a candle? A candle which is already lit. So, scientists first gave out this world is the action reaction of matter. Ultimately they have come out to say that this power is controlled by a power, this whole creation which is conscious. They are not going to believe there is one power which creates all these things. So the world is all in manifestation before us. There is no place where it is not. Why can't you see Him? The question arises. He is subtlest of the subtlest. If you see through a microscope, what you find? In the air now appears to be nothing. When you see through a microscope, that magnifies anything 700 times more. If you see it through, then you find that all this atmosphere is full of insects, microbes. Now, what happens to him? If one eye comes to that level, on that is magnified, or that magnified to come to our level of eye, we will be able to see. So these eyes of flesh and bone cannot see. When you rise above physical body, you begin to see. If man, in man body only we can know God, it is a golden opportunity in which we can know God. In no other body. Tulsi says, while God is with us in the body, we see Him not. Then he says, fire on a lifeless life like that. Oh, to see every man in dark blind. See, in man body, that's the highest aim before us, what to know what. And also what? Whatever seeds we have sown, karmic, that are to be paid off. How? By coming in contact with Him, seeing that He is the doer, I am not the doer. If that is so, who is to bear the reaping of the seeds we have already sown? Nobody. So Kabir says the entire world is groping in darkness. If it were a question of one or two, they could be set right. He says, I see all around, all are bright. The word blind in the terminology of the saints means not that man who has got no eyes on the forehead, but to the inner single eye is not open to see the letter. How that is opened by the word made flesh masters? They just withdraw our attention from all outside and from the body below, take it to the seat of the soul in the body, which is at the back of the eyes. When it is there, the single eye is open. You begin to see the light. Before going to such a master, we are blind, in the terminology of the saints. We are deaf. But when he gives us a sitting to withdraw our attention from all outside, we begin to see and begin to hear. So there are two kinds of worship. One is worship done at the level of senses. They are all called exotic, all called apra, which are done at the level of the outward faculties, mind or intellect. They are good actions, but that will gives you good results because these are done in the name of God. But you are didua, so you'll have to reap what you have sown. Coming and going is not ended. When your inner eyes open, you see He is the power, He is the creator, He is the permeating all creation. He is controlling us in the body. We are not the doer. Then our ego is lost. We, who will bear the, reap the fruits that have, seeds that we have sown? Nobody. So that ends coming and going. So, Guru Nanak said to the enlightened one, all are blind. In that sense, you know, we are all blind. Very sweeping remark it is, of course. But is it not right? What Christ say, I have come to make those people see who do not see. What does he mean by that? And those who see, they may be blind. It's the same thing. We see, I am looking at you, because my attention is there. If my attention is down from there, nobody would not see. On the back I cannot see. So it is the soul that has to know the oversoul. The eyes of flesh and bone see him not, but the Master illumines the eye within, opens that eye. A worthy disciple begins to witness the power and glory of God within himself. That is function of the Master. Give you something to start. And how? By withdrawing your attention from all outside, bring it to the level of the eyes, where that symbolizes our third eye, our latent eye is opened. Now reason appears, why can't we see him? Because enveloped in darkness, we strive for God by deeds not less dark. Without a Master, none has found the way, nor one can do. The reason why? Because our whole attention identified with outward faculties and mind, world, body and world. Unless that is withdrawn from there, then the eyes, inner eyes open, then we see that we come to this, that level. As I gave you the example of microscope, we become subtle, we begin to see the subtle form. That is why, unless when one comes across a perfect Master, he begins to see and begins to hear. So this is sad, when man came to the world, God put seals on his eyes and on his ears. And when we are offered his children, when we are in an unhappy state, he sends men, which are made flesh, world made flesh. They come to open the seals from the eyes and from the ear. They begin to hear, begin to see and begin to hear. So they open the eye where? Within the closet of the man body. But withdraw your attention from outside and from the body below also. So body is verily the temple of God. And the Holy Ghost dwells in it. That is why Emerson said, tapping inside, tap inside. Tapping inside and going into the foxhole in the brain. We once, you see, remarked by President Truman, it was into his, when he, into his foxhole that he repaired whenever he wanted peace and relaxation from the high offices. That's a receding within you. And there is complete rest. Their soul is revived with higher content. So Vedas called it a Brahmarudra. Fox of the hole in the brain are Brahmarudra. Perception, intention, and reasoning just help to understand the reality to a certain extent. Understanding, not seeing. At the level of intellect, but seeing is believing. Seeing with one's own eyes, the single eye of this inlet and ingress, is little known to the people at large. that eye is within us. That is called by the rishis as the third eye, as the Shiv Netra, as the Divkishu, and Christ separate as single eye.
Hello, and welcome to the Satsang for Master Kirpal Singh. The recording you just heard was the first half of a talk which Master gave at Santa Clara University on November 17, 1972. Our reader this evening is Sheila Gilmore. Go ahead, Sheila.
Hello, everyone. Good evening. I'm reading tonight from The Night is a Jungle, Chapter 13, which is on page 307 in my book. It's called Protector and Protection. The festival of Raksha is observed by our Hindu brothers. And the true meaning of Raksha Bandhan is to have good intentions towards someone and be a protection for them in every way, to protect them from difficulties, unhappiness, calamities, etc., or to save them from the force of such occurrences as cannot be prevented. The custom has been upheld in India for many generations, and at the time of wars, for instance, sisters would tie a small token on the wrists of their soldier brothers and whisper the prayer, "May God protect you." It is a common custom, still continued nowadays, but unfortunately with time it has deteriorated from its true meaning, and we find that when the sister now ties the token, she feeds him some sweetmeat and then expects some money in return, so the true reason for the custom is lost. What is raksha, or protection, and who can give it wholeheartedly? When a child is born, it has no awareness of anything, but its mother protects it from birth until it is fully grown. The father is the bread earner, but the mother is the protector. First, for 9 or 10 months, she carries the baby in her womb, giving it all her love and attention. Then, when it arrives in the world, she starts to take care of its every need. She keeps him clean, for he is constantly dirtying himself. If he gets wet and there are no more dry clothes, although it be the depth of winter, she will keep him warm on her breast and cover him with her own clothes, oblivious to the danger of catching cold herself. When the child gradually begins to have some awareness of his surroundings, he starts to realize a little of the love of his mother toward him, for the mother first loves the child, not vice versa. The child's love comes in response, and when he learns to love, he is reluctant to leave his mother's lap. She spends her life in worrying about the child, his health, his food, his education, good character, and his future. Everything concerning him is dear to her heart until he stands on his feet and gets established in life. Even then, her worrying does not cease. You will find that most mothers are like this, the whole world over. However, this worldly life is not the true living. We have to be born again, not physically, but into a new and different world. Christ said that unless a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And only after getting this physical form can we get rebirth into the beyond. Just as the mother is the physical protector, it is even more necessary to have a protector through the second or spiritual birth and on through the spiritual life until one has grown in awareness and is able to stand upright spiritually. With conditions as they are today, even man's closest ties offer little protection. A brother is not a true brother. Father is not for his son, and the son will do nothing for his father. Even the mother has started cursing her child, who in turn has lost all respect for its mother. It is such a terrible and degraded condition that mankind has sunk into. I feel like weeping. Anyway, one might have the sympathies of a righteous person, but for how long can he protect one? For as long as he stays in this world, not beyond that, and in the process of rebirth, he will be of no avail whatsoever. So who can protect us in the new world? He who dwells there. The true Raksha Bandhan happens when you have a protector for your soul who can take care of you in this world and the next, and without whom nothing can be achieved. With all due respect and gratitude to our physical and material protectors. The mother hen sits on her eggs with full concentration so that the chicks will form. When they are fully formed, she conveys to them that they are ready for the world, which is waiting for them with open arms. The sun, which is brightly shining, the grass is green and fresh, there is plenty of food to eat. But the chick is in darkness and cannot realize that there is any other state. The mother then has to resort to tapping on the shell with her beak, and upon hearing this, he instinctively feels encouraged to do the same from inside, and in a short time, he's putting his head into a new atmosphere filled with light and life. Only then does he understand the promise conveyed by his mother. If we want to be born into the new world, we need the help of someone who will not only take us there, but who will protect us to the end of the journey. Do you think this is work for our mother, father, sister, or any friend? No, that is impossible. The whole world is unable to assist you. There is an account of an incident during the life of my master, Baba Sawan Singhji, of a woman disciple whose only son was arrested on a false charge of murder and was given the penalty of death by hanging. The sessions judge presiding over the case was also a disciple, and before the final verdict was concluded, Baba Sawan Singhji requested him to help the accused and said, "I know he is innocent and falsely implicated." But the judge disregarded the master's words and gave the death sentence. A few days later, I was present when this same judge came to pay his respects to Hazur. And when the master passed very close to him without even looking in his direction, he said casually to another person, "I have no need of a judge. I can ask the Lord to do my work." Just then, the mother approached the master and started crying. "He's been sentenced to death," she said. Baba Sawan Singhji replied, "Don't worry. You just put in an appeal." It was not the type of case that had the slightest chance through appealing, but on the master's advice, the mother did appeal, and when they re-examined the case, certain facts came to light, and eventually the son was released. So one can see that even when there is no hope in any direction, a true protector can give the maximum help. Frankly, what is a human being's life but a series of interruptions? At each step, there's a barrier. What one wants does not happen. Some people are dying, some are sick, some are in difficulties of various kinds. There are thousands in poverty and in appallingly afflicted conditions. The whole of mankind is lamenting its unhappiness every step of the way. Who is there to give consolation in this world and guidance in the next? Guru Nanak has said on the subject, "O Nanak, break off all connections with the imperfect and search for a perfect master. They will abandon you even while you live, but he will never leave you even after death." Maulana Rumi has also said that one should grasp the coattails of a man who knows the secrets of this world and the beyond. The protection of such a personage cannot be described, but the individuals who experience it hold the knowledge close in their hearts. His single thought is very powerful, for God is super consciousness. He is part of the Creator, a drop of the ocean of all light. Remember, with one thought, God created the world. From one, many came into creation. If we, the soul, become the mouthpiece of the oversoul, then how powerful will we be? Our soul, though it is the same as the oversoul, is surrounded by the mind and the senses and is enclosed in the carcass of the physical form. The masters come like motherly hens to foster the children, which is very necessary. For unless they sit at some master's feet and absorb his words, they cannot be reborn. Remember that. Though in the beginning it may be that by mere words that the facts of life are conveyed, or of a new world more beautiful than this, viz., And, Brahmand, Parbrahmand, and Satlok or Satchkhand. O soul, you are the dweller of that land. Why have you allowed yourself to be captivated here? On hearing the words of the masters, we slowly start thinking and want to know what else there is. When the master gives the soul a connection with the beyond, it hears it and responds. There is no way without the Shabad to leave this pot of clay. With repetition, or simran, you can achieve single-pointed concentration. And with concentrated attention, dhyan, you will come to a standstill. But Shabad is the only power to take you up into the beyond. The master is that consciousness which has become the mouthpiece of the all-consciousness, and his single penetrating glance can lift the consciousness of not only one, but hundreds at one sitting, if necessary. To be connected to such a personage is the true Raksha Bandhan. Otherwise, it is merely a worldly custom. What are a guru's responsibilities, and what does he do? When one gives real thought to this, one's soul shivers to realize the extent of his protection. People do not understand that the guru's responsibilities are vast. They are overjoyed with the prospects of becoming masters themselves. Forgive me for saying this. Each one's desire is to be a guru, sadhu, sant, and spellbound with these thoughts, he forgets his duty toward himself and what he has to become in reality, thereby spending his precious time in leisure and wasting away whatever he has got. But the master, with each breath, goes on saving the disciples all the time. Whenever he initiates, he sows a seed for a new life, like the seed enters the mother's womb and then develops. Howsoever God's words come, he brings them into outer knowledge. He is a perfect being, the mouthpiece of God, the conscious co-worker, who sees that it is God sitting within him who is doing everything. This kind of master sows the seed of attention and gives a way up into the beyond, which is a new experience. In India, some time ago, the masters who gave initiation into the beyond were termed Brahmins, the supreme caste. But today only the caste remains, and initiation is but a mantra, mere words, that is all. The raksha, or protection, is a question mark. You are in the custody of a true master from the day he gives initiation. He becomes the very breath of the disciple. Baba Sawan Singhji used to say that from the day the master gives the blessing of Nam, the guru becomes the indweller along with the soul. From that very moment, he starts forming the child with love and protection until ultimately he takes him into the lap of the oversoul. Until that time, he does not leave him for 1 minute. This advancement may take 1, 2, or 3 lifetimes. Masters have mentioned up to 4, but if we become receptive, it can happen in 1 lifetime. God is working in the master, and if you think of him in this way, then whatever you desire will be given. In physique, he looks the same as other men, but he is not man alone. He became a man to dispense the treasure of God to the souls. He is not in birth and death. The benefactor came for the souls to give the treasure of devotion and join them back to God. Like the father gives the germinal seed of life, the guru bestows the life force, the incomparable gift. There are many kinds of gifts, but the gift of Nam is above all others, and having given it, the master then develops it within you, because he wants you to reach the same stage as himself. He wants you to enjoy the bliss that he enjoys. The master goes on protecting and giving, whether the disciple knows it or not. For he is like a small child, which never realizes how much worry and trouble it is to its mother. The child may turn out to have a bad character and perhaps become a gambler, but the mother will continue to concern herself with his needs, that he may not starve, and so on. The child thinks that he knows his mother very well, but what child understands about a mother's heart? We also think that we know our master, but we can only know as much as he wishes to reveal to us. We can only see as much as our eye has developed. To convince us of the truth, he will approach us in various ways, as a brother or a friend, and will sometimes appear to be inferior in knowledge or intellect. He acts in whatever way will help the disciple to gain confidence in his master. In this depth of humility, his greatness is revealed. Thus, this great personage gives rebirth to the soul and gradually makes us as great as he is. Truly, it is a profound blessing to have a living master who has come to give new life. You may ask, is all this the truth? But you can prove it through your own experiences. And in the many letters I receive daily, there are numerous accounts of the Master's protection. For example, a car was traveling along the road and it overturned into a very steep slope. The disciples in the car remembered the master, and the car righted itself onto all four wheels again. Disciples who have faith in their master can go through many dangerous experiences and will be astonished how they are saved and protected. These things are daily occurrences. Become receptive and obey his orders implicitly, even though at times he may show anger and displeasure, for he has taken this task upon himself and has to make you into something. A sculptor will pick up a rock lying on the roadside and chisel it to make eyes, nose, etc., and finally it becomes a work of art, a valuable thing. The master will make the disciple into something priceless, and those who are receptive will progress quicker, regardless of how long they have been traveling along this path. What good would it be if the stone started fighting with the sculptor, saying, I do not want a nose chiseled. I do not want my face like this. He has to make something of it, and he does so with great love. Sometimes, due to the fate karmas, many difficulties cross the student's path, and who is there to console and give strength to bear them? A single word from a perfect master goes to the depth of the heart, that it can stand upright and bear the burden. I remember when Pakistan was formed, you know the condition at that time. Whole families died, friends were killed, many people starved, even rich people were destitute and hungry for a slice of bread. Naturally, they tried to console each other, but the misery and hurt was so deep that they were inconsolable. However, when they came to Hazur, he would say, it is all right. Don't despair. God will give you more. And he would lift his hand in love and blessing. His words were like soothing balm on their raw wounds. The truth is that there is great power in this attention. And when one is helpless and feels that there is no hope, one will get full protection and assistance by turning one's face toward the Master. For example, if a child has to undergo some minor operation by the doctor, he will feel more assured and protected if his mother holds him in her lap, where her tender concern and love will help to take his attention from what is happening. There are many disciples who, while going through serious operations, have seen their master as the surgeon performing the operation. It is a question of love and faith in the guru. Some have seen the master standing near them with loving and concentrated gaze. They lost their fear and forgot the operation completely. These are not stories from invention, but true facts which have happened and are still happening. It is very necessary to have a living master. On this subject, Guru Ram Dass, the fourth guru of the Sikhs, says, "She who has given birth will look after the child with all her strength. He may be in the house or outside, but she is concerned for his every morsel. As the mother takes care of the baby selflessly with all her strength in all his needs, even going without herself if necessary, so does the true guru take care of the disciple through all the tribulations of life. If the disciple's eye is open enough, he will see for himself how he is being protected. And even if he does not see, he will still receive the protection. If the child gets dirty, the mother does not spurn him, but washes him clean and lovingly embraces him to her breast. We are covered with the filth of ages of worldly living, and the guru, with all love and concern, teaches us how to refrain from soiling ourselves. Many times she will reprove, but always press you to her heart in love. Guard the invaluable gift from the Master with your very life, for it will remain with you in this world and the next. It is not a trivial thing to meet a guru, but with deep sorrow I observe that many people do not have respect for their Master. A child can never forget his mother and all she has done for him. If anyone does forget their mother's love, it is a great sin. To forget all the blessings the guru has bestowed is unforgivable." Kabir says, "This sigh will never leave my heart, that I can do nothing in return for all that the guru has done for me. Forgive me, but the task of the guru is not an easy one. To make something of the disciple, to put him on his feet, to give him new life, to reach him to his true home, this is the guru's work. Giving lectures or fine talks is not the guru's work. His talks are merely to help them be aware that they are in deep forgetfulness, but the master's duty is a matter of custody. O Lord, we are the children of God, but in ignorance. The Master unfolds our understanding, first as a teacher, and then by taking on all the headaches, like bringing up a child from infancy, worrying about everything we do, just like a mother. When a child is fully grown, the mother knows that when he is hungry, he will himself come for food. But if by chance he does not come, she again goes looking for him everywhere. If the disciple does not listen, the master will offer alternative ways to help his progress. But if he is clever and keen to learn, he will understand much from but a single gesture, and so learns accurately and advances rapidly. When the disciple does not learn from satsang, books, and messages, the master uses many other ways to encourage him. There's the indirect method. Baba Sawan Singh Ji would sometimes rebuke a man when the actual wrongdoer was another standing nearby. He would say, "This is not right. It should not happen again." And the person being addressed would wonder in his heart, "What have I done that he is saying this?" Not realizing that the words were indirectly meant for someone else. The ways of masters are often misunderstood. through lack of spiritual growth. At times, the disciples would perpetrate wrong deeds. It's very easy to fall. But when they came to Hazor, he would show special love and say, "It is good you have come." This special attention was given particularly to save them from themselves. But many would foolishly think, if we sin, our guru is very happy with us. This is our intellect misguiding us. Fortunately for us, the master's purpose is always the same, to save the child that he may stand erect. The road is very long, but he gives his time to each individual. After all, he has great love for each and everyone. What can he do? If, after all these means are applied, the disciple still does not understand and progress, he uses yet other means to keep him on the straight path. Forgive me, but when he pulls the rope, the soul writhes in torment. When the child does not obey and wastes his life, the master shakes him hard. And though he might be a hopeless case, the unceasing love of the master will infuse a breeze of enthusiasm into his heart eventually. If you go on sitting at his feet, you will come nearer to realization. That is why it is advised, don't leave the satsang. Whatever has gone wrong will right itself. Why is your condition today so appalling? Because of the mind and the senses overpowering the soul, and too much living for outer enjoyment. There are grievances in your hearts against others. You cut each other's throats and squeeze the blood out. In this condition, what is the saving factor? Go to the satsang regularly. One day you will think a thing is right, another day you will think a thing is wrong, but do not cease to attend, and your condition will right itself. The more a child is obedient to the guru's every wish, the quicker will be salvation. A certain Mahatma by the name of Panap Das has said that a man should have three blessings. First, God's. Second, the guru's. And third, your own soul's. God's blessing you have already got. He's given you the human form. And to come across a perfect master is his very special blessing. The guru's blessing you received when he gave you rebirth by taking you above the senses and rejoining you to the sound current within, which will take you back to the source of all life. But what about the third blessing, which is your own? What is that? Having received the experience and connection with the truth from the master, then whatever he advises, you should do. Give whatever is the time requirement necessary to your inner progress. This is your own blessing on yourself. When the child learns with interest, he benefits from the teacher's pleasure also. These days, most teachers are just paid. But when I used to study as a child, they were people dedicated to humanity and children. If a child was promising, the teacher would wave aside the question of fees and call him to his own home for extra tuition. We often went to our teacher's home. He did not have any water laid on there, so we used to bring it in buckets and do other work around the house purely out of love for him. He loved us and taught us with love. Okay, my time is up. I was reading from The Night is a Jungle. Chapter 13, Protector and Protection. Thank you, Master, for giving us this time and your words. And oh, thank you so much for the initiation you bestowed on us and the protection you give us. Thank you.
And thank you, Sheila, for reading for us. There were 56 people at this evening's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And thank you, Master, for providing this for us.
Can they just wake up and see where is your Lord? We have got self, we are souls, and God is the soul of our souls, you see. Our souls are directed outside. we have to invert. If we invert, we could have seen it. But inversion, we have not learned how to do it.